of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home. I hear the sound of a mighty rush.
Good evening and very, very blessed Saturday. We thank God. It's always a privilege to come your way. And, you know, Saturdays are my favorite, I mean, times because of what, you know, the times I spend on radio. Because it's always a privilege to be doing the work of God. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you just get to the point where you don't know what to do, what to say. But then the Holy Spirit himself will guide you and tell you today, go this way, say this and all that. There's a shift. I mean, I'm still on the series of Are You Still a Christian? But because of tomorrow being a remembrance of Pentecost, we are moving along the line. I mean, indeed, we need another Pentecost in our lives. We indeed need another Pentecost in our lives. Because the Christian race is becoming more difficult. You know, people are struggling. And really, we've been talking about some of these things and the challenges Christians are facing. And are we still in the faith and all that? But tonight, I believe there's going to be respite. We are going to be empowered to be revived. You know, listen to tonight's edition with this mindset of being revived. I mean, the Holy Spirit himself empowering you again, a new outpouring. That should be how you should listen to tonight's edition, you know, praying along and all that. And I believe at the end of the program at 9 o'clock, God himself, the Holy Spirit himself would have revived us as he wants us to be on fire for him. Let me start this evening's edition with this song by William Booth, one of the old hymns, but on fire and on point for the times.
Let me ask you, just like William Booth did over 100 years ago, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire.
Us
live a dying world to save. Send. Lord, we're here tonight and we're on your altar. Send your fire.
Thou Christ of burning, cleansing fire or flame, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Thy blood bought gift today we claim, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Look down, see this waiting host, give us the promised Holy Ghost, we want another Pentecost, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. God of Elijah, hear our cry. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. To make us fit to live or die. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. To burn up every trace of sin. To bring the light and glory in. The revolution now begin. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Test fire we want, for fire we plead. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. The fire will meet our every need. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. For strength to ever do the right. For grace to conquer in the fight. For power to walk the world in white. Wow, that's very important. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. To make our weak hearts strong and brave. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. To leave a dying world to save. Send the fire, and then goes on. Oh, see us on thy altar lay, our lives are all this very day. To crown the offering, now we pray, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Beautiful song by William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. Wow, wow, wow. Beautiful hymn there. Beautiful hymn there. All right, so let's get into some news, and then we also get into the word. And, you know, the world we are in obviously now demands that we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we just can't live the casual way, Christian way, anything goes type. No, no, no. Because that's what we are seeing naturally. The average Christian is living that way. I mean, but, you know, I'll get into it. But let's get the news, and then, I mean, a few headlines. And then there are two reports, statistical reports. I like these reports because it paints a certain picture, and it also encourages us to also understand what is happening. I keep saying that some of these, or most of these statistics, if we are to do same, we are to do those same polls here in Ghana, the margins of errors, I mean, will not be so different, because technically, it will be close, very marginal changes, but the percentages will be quite close if we are to do those statistics here as well, those sorry, polls, surveys in Ghana. All right, so this headline says, Christian shot and injured in Sudan, and Bible school also bombed. You know, the Sudan situation is something else. You know, it's like just because of power, two people craving for power, country is just going down in uncontrollable war. I mean, it's something which, and you ask yourself why these things keep happening, because people are some greedy powers are behind them, who will be financing and supporting and giving them arms. By the time you go and check, two power players, maybe two countries, country A, country B, sponsoring. Everybody has an interest. We want to dominate this world, something. And then Christian teacher barred in England from teaching for not using trans pronouns. You know, when I saw this news earlier in the week, it's like the level of absurdity with this trans movement and is just getting overboard. You know, because it's like, and this, I mean, a teacher refuses or doesn't call a boy, girl, she, he, whatever, and it's a whole big issue. He's been not just dismissed, but it's like he's lost his license. So, I mean, he can't teach again. And for what crime? Because if you call, you refuse to call a he who had decided to become a she, you say you won't call her the she. You know, this whole change thing is something else. One worrying news is 193 Georgia churches, I mean the U.S. Georgia, vote to leave United Methodist Church. It is worrying because the United Methodist Church, I mean, it's not fit to be called a church again because, I mean, they've decided to change the definition of, they are changing, looking at the marriage issue, considering this gay marriage and all these things. So the 193 Georgia churches, which were affiliated with them and that are leaving, they are doing the right thing. I mean, because you just can't associate with a church that has lost its bearing biblically, doctrinally, morally, and all. You know, more than a third of the congregation that once belonged to the Georgia-based regional body of the United Methodist Church have disaffiliated from the denomination over its ongoing debates over homosexuality. Why should there be a debate in the first place? I mean, it's a non-starter because, I mean, it's even fornication should not be mentioned amongst believers if you read Corinthians. How much more homosexuality? Why should it become a topic to be debated, to agree or not to agree, to allow or not to allow church, and this is allowed, this is an issue to debate and vote over? Something is wrong, you know. And you see denominations falling one after the other regarding this LGBT thing, and you ask yourself, so where is the Holy Spirit in these churches? That's the first question. Where is the Holy Spirit in these churches? Where is the Holy Spirit in these supposed leaders? I mean, how can you claim you have the Holy Spirit in this church and this is allowed, or this is even a topic to consider, to debate and even vote? I mean, the glory has departed, the spirit has departed. They are just a social club with a title church. But there's no spirit there, because you can't tell me there's a Holy Spirit presence in this church when something that is an abomination to God is something that you are interested in considering. Technically, you've decided you want to do it. So this whole bureaucracy of voting and debate and all, it's just like, we are going to do it anyway. So it's very unfortunate how some of these churches are just going down. And the first of the statistics news I talked about, less than half of U.S. adults believe in God without a doubt. Less than half. But majority still pray, according to the study. Sometimes I wonder, okay, you don't believe in God, but you are praying to which God? Then it may be another God, but not the God you don't believe in. So whilst less than half of adults in the U.S. believe in God without a doubt or attend religious services frequently, the majority, almost 80%, say they still pray. A new study from NOLC at the University of Chicago shows. The study is based on the 2022 cross-sectional data for the General Social Survey, a biennial nationally representative survey that NORC has conducted since 1972 to track societal change and study the growing complexity of the American society, a release from the University of Chicago said. The past 3 years were a period of great trial and change for the United States. Understanding how these times affected Americans' thoughts, beliefs, opinions is critical to understanding social change. Rini Bautista, the director of the GSS and the associate director of the methodology and quantitative social sciences at NOLC, explained in the release. Of the 2,336 people in the survey who responded to a question asking them to describe what they believe about God, only 49.6% said they believe in God with no doubts. No doubts. Some 16.4% said they believe in God with doubts. With doubts. Whilst 5.4% said they believe sometimes. Hey, I see. 14.4% share said they believe in a higher power, while 7.5% said they don't know and have no way to find out. Among the autopilots, they are just existing. The share of respondents who indicated they don't believe in God followed close behind with 6.8%. A majority of American adults also reported that they never had a born-again experience, which is described in the study as a turning point in your life when you committed yourself to Christ. And this one is quite worrying because you don't even know you are born again. You don't know when you became born again. You don't have any experience of being born again. Then you are not born again. I mean, as simple as that. Some 61.7% of the 3,451 people who responded to this question said no, whilst just 38.3% said yes. That's worrying. Responding to a question about whether they ever try to encourage someone to believe in Jesus Christ or to accept Jesus Christ as his or her savior, the results were almost equally matched with the results from the question about being born again. Some 61.6% of the 3,495 respondents said no, whilst 38.4% said yes. And that's obvious, because if you yourself you don't know you are born again, how can you leave someone also to be born again? And this buttresses the point that these people who said they've not had an experience, a born-again experience, it's simple. They are not born again. Yes, they believe in God. Some may believe in God. Some know about God. But they are not born again. Despite the majority of U.S. adults being doubt-ridden or having no faith in God, just under 80% reported that they still pray from several times a day to less than once a week. When asked about how often do you pray, 29.6% of some 3,501 respondents said several times a day. Another 19.5% said once a day, and 11.8% said several times a week. 5.4% said once a week. 12.9% reported praying less than once a week, whilst 20.9% said they never pray at all. Earlier this year, a report from the Survey Center on American Life highlighted how the COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdowns had accelerated existing trends in declining church attendance. In that study, some 33% of Americans reported that they never attend religious services, compared to about 25% who reported this before the pandemic, and the NOLC findings are similar. Of the 3,509 people who responded to the question about whether they attend religious services, 32.7% said they never attend. Another 11.9% reported attending less than once a year. Less than once. If less than once a year, then that means quarter, one, half. That's zero. So 13.2% said once or twice a year. 9.9% said several times a year, whilst 4.5% reported attending religious services about once a month. A small share of respondents worked hard at maintaining their connection with religious centers. Some 4.2% reported attending services several times a week. 12.6% said they attended weekly. 5.3% said they attended nearly every week, whilst 5.7% said they attended religious services 2 to 3 times a month. You know, off my head, I can just see how similar these numbers, I mean, can link up with how the numbers we are seeing in Ghana in terms of church attendance and the people who claim they are Christians all over the place, and yet Sunday drive around and it's like it's as if it's a normal day. I mean, so we are not too far from these numbers. If we just that we don't have statistical figures to back, but if you are to do these surveys, similar surveys, same sample size and all that, as I said, the numbers will not be too different. You see, the true Christians are really few. I mean, that's the saddest part of it. True spirit-filled, born-again Christians are very few. A lot of the people we see in church, a lot are just, they are, you know, they'll say they are Christians. Push them a bit. They don't even know they are born again. Push them a bit. They've never been born again before. And we have these people flocking a lot of churches, especially the youth. The youth are in this category more, where, you know, some are just going to churches just because their friends are going there. They like the church. It looks trendy. It looks, you know, modern. A lot of high-class youth are there, so they also want to associate with such churches and feel good. You know, so we are seeing the numbers. Then COVID came, or we were seeing these numbers, COVID came, and then it struck, and the numbers dropped. It's picking up in some instances, but some churches have still not survived or be able to overcome the drops in the numbers. You know, there is a decline in the numbers in general. I mean, and the greater worry is even those who are still standing, a number of us are still struggling because, like, the weather is cold, type of a cold wind is making it difficult to really be warm and hot on fire. And that's why we need another Pentecost. We need a personal revival in our lives, because you see, it's becoming very difficult to be a believer, you know, to keep up the fire burning constant, daily on fire, praying, reading your word, meditating, you know, doing the things you have to do, you used to do. That energy, that desire, that passion is virtually dead in some people, is dying in some people. But we should do everything possible to revive ourselves, kick ourselves back again. You know, some stopped going to church when COVID came. It's been 3 years and some have not stepped in church again. Some will say, oh, they are following church online and all that. So it's like, you know, people have all sorts of reasons. But the fire is dying for some, is dead for some. Some is just left with a few ashes from the coal. It's like it's almost gone. Almost gone. Prayer life is non-existent. But reading the Bible is a whole difficult thing. Something is just not right. There's a struggle, inner struggle, to really keep the fire going. And you see, when we get to this point, we need an external source of power, and that's where the Holy Spirit, a revamp, a re-empowerment, redefining everything. We need the Holy Spirit afresh. And that's why we need another Pentecost in our lives. You know, I believe tomorrow being Pentecost, we need to have that desire. We are remembering Pentecost, but we can have your Pentecost encounter anytime, so far as you are ready, you desire, you want to reconnect with God, He is always available. Now let's look at the last news item, and then we'll be talking a bit of Bible issues. Most Americans don't like Christian celebrity culture and then mega churches. While the majority of Americans have a positive view of Jesus, most, including Christians, also have a negative opinion of celebrity Christian culture, celebrity pastors, evangelicals, mega churches, and famous worship bands. A new study from Banner Group shows. And the situation is among a number of drivers inching the nation toward a post-Christian era. This phrase is very worrying, but it's the truth. The situation is among a number of drivers inching the nation towards a post-Christian era. And that's quite worrying. The data for the study, conducted online from December 13th to 22nd, 2022, via a consumer research panel, was based on the survey of 2005 U.S. adults and teenagers called the Spirituality Open Project. Glow and He gets us partnered with Banner for the research. When we asked Americans whether they have a positive or negative opinion of Jesus, 7 in 10, 71%, say they view him positively. Of all U.S. teens and adults, 63% said they have made personal commitment to Jesus Christ. That is still important in their life today. Banner researchers said, this is almost common among millennials, of whom 70% say their commitment to Jesus is still important to them. When asked if they have a positive opinion about certain aspects of Christian culture, like megachurches, the study shows that just a minority of both Christians and non-Christians approve. Overall, only 16% of U.S. teens and adults have a positive view of megachurches, and among Christians, it doesn't get much better. Only 17% view them positively. For people of other faiths, 21% said they have a positive view of megachurches, while just 9% of people with no faith said the same. For celebrity pastors, only 19% of Christians and people of other faiths had a positive view of those ministers, while just 17% of respondents overall said the same. Famous people or celebrities who are Christian are also not seen positively. Only 26% of respondents overall in the survey and 30% of Christians approve. 26% of respondents in the study overall also had a positive view of famous or well-known worship bands among Christians. Just 30% viewed these bands positively, along with 29% of people from other faiths and 12% of people who professed no faith at all. Evangelicals are also not well-liked. Only 26% of respondents overall have a positive view of the group. Among Christians, that view increases to 31% but falls to 24% among people of other faiths. While some 56% of Christians in the survey said they had a positive view of Christian pastors or priests, less than half, 44% of the respondents in the study overall reported the same. Only 47% of respondents overall had a positive view of churches in their community, while 58% of Christians did. Majorities of overall respondents viewed Jesus Christ 71%, Christianity 57%, and the Bible 63%, and spirituality 65% favorably. Larger majorities of Christians also expressed positive views regarding Jesus Christ, 84%, Christianity 74%, the Bible 76%, spirituality 75%. On the other hand, Christianity is not viewed positively by people of other faiths, just 36% of whom have warm feelings towards the religion. Beyond Jesus, when it comes to views of other Christian groups or entities, positive opinions wane. People of no faith are neutral or leaning negative. And for celebrity, mega or famous representatives of the faith, opinions decidedly negative, researchers said. The top reason given by people of no faith and other faiths for doubting Christianity is the hypocrisy of religious people, whilst among Christians it is the human suffering. The work of Christians is to embody Christ, full of truth and grace, and reflect his image in all they say and do. Banner Group CEO David Kinnaman said in a statement, the data shows they too often fall short. You know, so, you know, how even Christians are perceived and all the statistics, because, you see, when I look through these numbers, the reason why the numbers are like this is we are not working like Christ. People are not seeing the Christ in the church, the Christ in the Christians, the Christ in the believers, the Christ in the pastors. Because if that was so, that was what was really being seen, the percentages would have been higher. Because now people sometimes look at Christians and have all sorts of doubts, ask questions like, are you also a Christian? Not with a positive but with a negative perception or mindset, because the behavior is nothing to write home about. So it's like wondering, are you also, because that means you're a disgrace to Christianity. And we have these people, I mean, just look at politics in Ghana. Yes, let's narrow it down. How many Christians don't we have in our political class? But look at what we see in the country. So if people do not be, I mean, look at some of these people and they espouse themselves as Christians, read the Bible instances and all that, but everything shows the other way around, I mean opposites, it becomes a bad example of Christianity in general. You see, so this is how the lifestyle of believers is even becoming detrimental to the message of Christ, because we are repelling the unbelievers by our lifestyle. And it's sad when unbelievers also have issues, because they don't see the church exhibiting the Christ factor, they don't see the church exhibiting love and all that. So we, the Christians, are the main cause of the negative perception against Christianity by our lifestyle, our behavior, our attitudes and all. It's really unfortunate, but I mean, the numbers are there and we see it ourselves. We are seeing it around us. I mean, political class, a classic example. I mean, look at our offices, I mean, businesses, institutions around and all. The crime. You know, I once heard of a case where the armed robbers were arrested at the central police, taken to the central police station, and then those times, you know, I mean, armbands was a popular thing, you know, Christians, churches and prayer groups and all, they have armbands, and this armed robber had an armband on the hand as well. It's like, so you're also a Christian? And it's like, you know, one of those things, you see, an armed robber doing all the bad things and having a supposed church's armband on the hand. What message are you portraying? A while back, this was pre-COVID, you know, Spirit FM at Junction here is the prostitute stand at the main road near Junction. And then one technician was going to buy something in the night. And then heard one of the ladies saying that, hey, she's coming to work a little before going to an all night. And it's like, wow. I mean, coming to work, as you know, do her work before going to pray at an all night. So you ask yourself, what has gone wrong? Where is this all night happening that this lady can comfortably finish her work and go and join? For all you know, she's even a chorister or a singer or whatever, playing a role in the service, and comfortably will finish and then go back next time and come back to work. You see, this is the point. Are we still Christians? Because something, there's a missing link, there's a disconnect. And see, the disconnection, the missing link, is the Holy Spirit. because by our actions, by our doings, we can quench the Holy Spirit. You know, let me read 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 also says that, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So that means we have the power. These letters were written to Christians. So we have the power, we have the ability to quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And these actions, whichever way, whether quenching or grieving, means His presence is not welcome in you. You diminish His control in your life. You virtually declare Him persona non grata. He's not welcome. You don't need Him. Your body is not a place for Him to dwell in. As simple as that. So our actions can push Him out eventually, because quenching fire, like fire service, pouring the hose to douse a flame, eventually the more water that is poured, the fire goes off, and then it's off. That's it. Our actions, our sins, the things we are refusing to stop, eventually the Holy Spirit is prompting us, stop, stop, stop. We say we'll not stop, we'll not stop, we'll not stop. For how long will He keep negotiating? Eventually you are quenching. You are quenching. Every act you are taking that you are disobeying and intentionally neglecting His caution and warnings, you are pouring fire onto the fire, water onto the fire, a little at a time. If you keep pouring, like fire service, eventually the fire will be quenched. And not just quenching, you keep grieving, because it's like, don't do, I'll do. Don't do, I'll do. Don't go, I'll go. You are grieving Him. So eventually, we keep grieving Him, we keep quenching the fire. So we'll not feel Him. We'll not have His presence with us. There will be no power. And that is exactly what we are seeing now, because you see, we have a form of Christianity, and Paul wrote about it. I think 2 Timothy 2:3. Let me quickly. 2 Timothy 3, yes. 2 Timothy 3, verse where he wrote about the perilous times, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. A form of godliness. Oh yes, Sunday we hold the Bible, we go to church. Everybody is speaking tongues, you're also speaking tongues. Singing, we're also singing. Saying the jargons, yes, we also say we are online praying, doing everything that everybody is doing that looks like Christian. So we also fit into the Christian mode. But there's no power to back it. There's no power to back it. You know, this week I was thinking about this. There was this report I read sometime. I've read it on issues before, some years back, in Japan, where the percentage of unmarried girls and unmarried men, boys, like, you know, adult youth, unmarried, who abstain from sex and are still virgins, the percentage is very high. And I was asking myself and thinking, these people do not believe in God largely. They do not serve God largely. You know, Christianity, barely 3%, 2%, 3% in Japan. So if these people without the power of the Holy Spirit can say no to fornication, and then you come to our system here, we say we are born again, we are speaking in tongues, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are struggling to say no to fornication, something is wrong somewhere. Because the one who doesn't believe in God, atheist or Shintoist or Buddhist or whichever Eastern religion, for the Japanese youth, most of them now, they just don't believe in God. Not that they are atheists too, but they just don't. They are just there. They just, you know, work for money. That's it. Nothing like religion is not part of their lives. I remember I met one Japanese girl and I was talking to, and you know, I mean, God for what? I mean, because everything is working fine. I mean, the system works. So, God for what? You don't need God for anything. So, see, but these people without any Holy Spirit are able to control their bodies. This thing. And the believer who says he has the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in him, in his body, cannot control the body. Think about this. There is something wrong with us, because in a sense, we claim we have the Holy Spirit. We claim we are Christians. But the truth is, we are not Christians. You see, and it reflects the statistics I was reading, the US one, the first survey I was reading, that a lot of the people said that they've not had a born-again experience. But they are in church. I mean, they say, these people who say they've not had a born-again experience, they've not had any transformation, any change, are still going to church. We still call themselves Christians. Some may be in the choir, some may be ushers, some may even be in the prayer tower. They are praying, they are in church, they are doing everything just as Christians are doing. And when you call Christians, they'll show up. Yes, they are Christians. And they feel they are Christians. They believe they are Christians. Yet, they cannot live the Christian life, because we can only live the Christian life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot live the Christian life. And that is the missing link we are having now in this discussion I've been having. The missing link is the Holy Spirit. He is out of the equation for a lot of people. So their Christian life is like the whole thing should sum up to 100%. So they have this plus, this plus, this plus, that. It sums up to maybe 70%, 80%. But the equation is still not complete, because something should add up to be able to reach 100%. And that X factor, that missing factor, is the Holy Spirit. Until the Holy Spirit is part of the equation, you cannot reach that 100%. So we can do all we think we want to do by our own strength, by our own power, by our own strategies. We can please men, we can please our pastors, we can please the society, please everybody. We can let everybody see us as Christians, let everybody believe we are Christians. But if the Holy Spirit is not part of whatever we are doing, that power is missing. Forget it. We are deceiving ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. You see, and this is the problem modern day youths and teenagers especially are struggling with in the body of Christ today. Talk to most pastors, they will tell you the biggest challenge now is fornication in the church. Christians, the youth, the teenagers, fornication. But go to Japan, they are not Christians, they are not speaking in tongues, they are not believers. And they are living a holy life, quote and unquote holy. I mean, they are not breaking their virginity, they are living right, because they've decided they will not do it. And they are able to stick to it, and they will not. And they can say no to fornication. And the Christian who says he's born again, speaking in tongues, cannot say no to fornication. So where is the power? The so-called power in... There's no power. There's no power in these believers. So the struggle to sin, the struggle not to sin is real, because the struggle is so real, they cannot overcome sin. So the cycle goes on and on and on. Sin and sin and sin. So we sin, we are sorry. We sin, we are sorry. We go back, we are sorry. We go back. The cycle is repeated, because there is no power to be able to say no to sin. And that power is the Holy Spirit. The difficulty in achieving the Christian life that we know will please God, we are struggling because the Holy Spirit is not part of the equation. And once he's not part of the equation, we are on our own. And so far as we are on our own, we cannot expect to achieve the standard that he expects from us. We cannot please him because by our own strength, we cannot please him. We cannot please him. And you see, this evening, the challenge should be we should desire the Holy Spirit once more for him to take over and control us, fill us. You know, we can talk about the Holy Spirit. We can sing about the Holy Spirit. We can read about the Holy Spirit. But if you are not ready to experience him, we are not ready to allow him fail us and lead us, then there's a missing link. Because you see, if we say we are his children, then as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if we say we have the Holy Spirit, but we are not allowing him to lead us, you know, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now the question is, who is leading you, or what is leading you in your daily life, in your going and coming, in your doings and your don'ts, whatever? Who is leading? Is it the Holy Spirit? Because if it's the Holy Spirit, then your steps will be ordered by him to the right, to do the right things, to go to the right places. So the Holy Spirit cannot be part of a believer and is leading that believer to do the wrong things and to go to the wrong places. No. Because if really he is there, he will prompt you, don't go, don't do. If you keep resisting, you keep refusing, you keep disobeying, that's where you are quenching, you are grieving him, you are quenching, you are grieving him. Eventually, he will stop talking. You will not hear him again. You are on your own. So you go this time. You don't have any restrictions. You don't have any prompts again, because now, when he spoke previous times, you didn't mind him. You didn't listen to him. You disobeyed him. You disrespected him. So you are on your own now. And you will think all is well. All is not well. Because we've grieved him. We've offended him. We've quenched the fire. But see, it's not late. It's not too late, because we can get ourselves back in line. We can invite him to fail us again. We can, you know, that's why Acts 1:8 should be a key verse tonight as we end tonight's edition. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, into Judea and Samaria, into the uttermost part of the earth. The power to live the Spirit-filled life can be received again. You can receive, you can talk to him, you can revive yourself by allowing the Holy Spirit to come back, inviting him back. Because you should be willing, you should have the desire, you should have the passion to get things right and amended. Because we cannot continue on this Christian, supposed Christian race, which you know that, I mean, you are just in a race. It's like marathon, everybody running, jumping and screaming, everybody's running. But you know that this race that you are running, eventually you have drifted onto the Broadway, and you are comfortably running on the Broadway at your own terms, at your own pace, at your own speed. You are deceiving yourself on the Broadway, because we know that one leads to distraction. And you know it, but it's like you think, oh, God understands. No, God doesn't understand. That's why this evening I'm addressing this issue. God does not understand you being on the Broadway, comfortably running your own race. You've set your own race, you set your own time, you set your own speed, everything. And you are busy running your own race outside the dictates and the rules of the organizer of the race himself. See, so it's time we get back on the narrow path. And we can only be on the narrow path through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We can only stay on the narrow path You see, if you've walked on the Kakum Canopy Walkway, see how narrow, just one plank of wood with the ropes beside it. Narrow. It's even difficult to do overtaking on that walkway. Narrow path. So it's not comfortable to walk on that, on a narrow path like the Kakum Walkway. But if you are walking on the Santasi dual carriage, you alone, you are walking on the dual carriage, I mean, no cars are coming, you alone, you can drift as you want, move left and right, zigzag, because the whole wide road, two lanes, or even both in and out, you can open it for you. So you alone, from the middle to the left and the right, so the four lanes, all for you. Comfortably, you can roll over, you can do whatever you want on that road. But it's leading to distraction. So it doesn't matter how comfortable you are today, it's not going to end well if you continue on that road. But when we say that we can't on our own, we need the Holy Spirit to be our guide and our helper, then we position ourselves to allow him in to take over and to control. And that's why we need his power. We need him to revive us again. A lot of believers are still, yes, they are still on a narrow way, but it's now becoming more difficult. And we need to be re-energized. You know, like your phone battery, you run it down, it gets to a point, you know, if you don't charge the phone, you can't use it. Electric cars, if you don't charge it at a point, you can't use it. Your laptop battery, you run it down, if it's not charged and there's no power, you can't use it. See, so with that power, the Holy Spirit, we need him to recharge us again so that we can continue running the race effectively. Because, you know, a lot of things can cause us to really run low on the power. I mean, prayerlessness, lack of the word, you know, the cares of this world, the pressures of this world, all these things weigh us down. And it's like it's pulling us, drawing us, challenging us. These are the difficulties and these are the realities of the Christian faith. But we have to overcome it, overcome these storms. So we have to keep depending on the Holy Spirit, reviving ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit to keep going. So if you fail yourself, you see yourself down and all, you know, as I'm ending tonight, talk to him. I'll be playing the song, Send the Fire Again. Pray and ask him to send the fire to you, to revive you again, to keep the fire burning as you revive yourself tonight. God willing, next week I'll be continuing this series. This is recorded. It will be uploaded to the Issues website, spiritissues.info, and to the Telegram group as well. So good night and God bless you.
Ask you just like William Booth did over 100 years ago. Send the fire! Send the fire! Send the fire!
Let's go.
strong and brave. Send the fire to live a dying world to save. Send